Welcome to the Mind Games podcast. Today, we have my boy Hectic Fred join the couch. We delve deep into Fred's mindset, adversities he's dealt with, and to be honest, this is Fred like you've never seen him before. Enjoy. Alrighty, Hectic Fred, mate. Welcome aboard. How you doing?
Mate, I'm doing good. How are you, bro?
I'm good, bros. I'm good. Thank you very much for coming aboard, mate. Super grateful for, I know, short notice. You've jumped on, saved me for the week, gave me a bit of content before the cricket starts when I start ramp up a few of the cricketers. And funny enough, we're actually in your studio.
Yeah, man, I love this place. I haven't been in a couple of weeks, but you know, I always said, let me be your wild card, bro. When you need me, summon me, bro. And here I am.
He's the 18th man. We had a few torn hamstrings in the warm up, and Fred's jumped aboard. But mate, how I normally start this, I kind of give the listeners a little bit of an idea just how we know each other. We're both lucky enough to get given an opportunity to jump on the Levels Fan Bunker by Justin, Luke and Willie. Mate, connected from there, you kind of hit me up and were like, where are you posting stuff? I'm like, I'm posted in about two, three years on Instagram. And you're like, mate, you got to start doing it, gave me a bit of an opportunity to jump on your boys' podcast. We created a few shows off the back of that. And then, now this is created. So, mate, you're the one digging, giving me that little bit of an extra push. Grateful for that.
Yeah, I always say I hate wasted potential. And, like, Mitchell's really good on the mic. And I'm like, man, I never heard of this guy before. Like, is he making any content? And I started investigating him, and I didn't see anything. And I'm like, dude, how did this bloke even end up with me? So I started speaking to Mitch a bit more and sort of tried to give him the kick up the ass to start making some content. And I'm a bit ruthless, like, and persistent when it comes to that. Like, usually I'm pretty chill and I don't try to force anything upon people, but I'm like, nah, Mitch should really be doing this. And he's like bringing up his age and how it's too late to start. And I'm like, mate, it's never too late to start, bro. Campy started after his footy career was over, you know. True. What I mean? And mate, I've just heard so many stories of people starting stuff late, like Colonel Sanders, mate, you know what I mean? Like, I love my KFC, but still, he started everything really late. So in my mind, it's like, it's never too late to start, especially when it comes to social media. Mate, the camera and mic does not care how old you are. And I just really wanted Mitch to start making some content. And now I'm regretting it a bit because he doesn't stop talking shit. But I love him, bro. I love him. For the most part, he's all right.
Oh, how good. But it's been a pretty full circle, right? Like, we're now in your studio filming my podcast.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It comes full circle, pretty man. Cool. And it all started from the Fan Hub. And that was such a mad experience, man. Honestly, like,
it was cool. We got
I was really starstruck then. And I think that was the turning point, really. Like, after being on the Fan Hub, seeing guys like Willie and Scope and Josh Reynolds, and seeing how they're just regular blokes, I'm like, dude, I don't have to really be nervous, because I used to always buckle when it came to footy players, and for a little while I still was, but now I feel like that initial, like, I'm sort of getting used to being in their presence and working with them, and I realize that they like me as much as I like them, you know what I mean? So just be normal, eh?
Absolutely, mate, absolutely. Mate, let's talk a little bit about you. So, Hectic Fred, from rumors have it, that's actually what it says on your birth certificate.
No, mate, my name's not even Fred. Fred's a nickname.
I genuinely don't know the answer.
Yeah,
there, so.
My name is actually Farid, and everybody calls me Fred because my grandfather's also named Farid, and it's basically Fred in Arabic, right? It's just that's just the Arabian version of it, mate.
Yeah.
And on our street, there was like two more Farids, so it was like nobody's calling me Farid. Even my own parents call me Fred. The only time they would ever call me by my real name is like my dad when he was pissed at me. Like, I started realizing that my name is really good to say when you're angry. Like, Farid, you know what I mean? That was my old man. Whenever he got pissed at me, I'm just hearing my full name, I'm like, oh shit, what do I do now? Fred is just what I've always been called. The only people that call me my proper full name are like my schoolmates, because it was my name on the roll.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just how we came about. And
there you
and
go. Well, talk me through, how did Hectic Fred start?
Dude, I used to love Bo Ryan and you know, DJ Yella and just all his, you know, Bo Nose skits, right? And DJ Yella was I was in year six, absolutely loving it, and saying I started saying hectic because
hectic
of Bo
boys
Ryan.
Out in force. Breath smells like garlic sauce.
I know, but years before that, it was just DJ Yala saying the word hectic, and I'm like, I like that word, and I just ran with it. And someone, man, I still remember him. Like, in year six, he called me Hectic Farid. And then when I was making my PlayStation name at 13 years old, I was like,
yeah, okay,
Hectic Fred goes pretty mad. But it had, like, X's and the E's were threes. And so it was XX, three tick for thread X, you know what I mean? But Hectic Fred was the much simpler version that I came up with, you know. Like, it evolved over the years. And now it's just plain old Hectic Fred, but it just, it's such a good name.
Love it. Did you always, when you first made Instagram, were you Hectic Fred or did you have a different name?
Always Hectic Fred. Yeah, I good. Didn't actually use Instagram until I was content creating. So
okay.
I was always a Facebook guy. All my meme pages and everything there, but now I've transitioned over to Instagram. But yeah, Hectic Fred _, but I don't have the actual Hectic Fred name. Some random like NPC inactive account has the name Hectic Fred and the guy's name is Ryan. I've tried reaching out to get the actual, because I got Hectic Fred _. I want the clean version, but it's not that big of a deal. I can't seem to get it, but Hectic Fred _ goes hard.
Yeah, well, let's send us, clip this up and send it out to him. Go
please,
on, Ryan,
bro.
give us the
please, mate.
Give us the account. Talk me through content creation. So you mentioned meme pages, different things. What my goal with today is to show the audience that there's a bit more to yelling at the screen and telling, swearing and telling just talking about how the dogs can't tackle. I want to show people the Fred I know, the Hectic Fred I know, who's a little bit smarter, a little bit more behind the lens. So talk me through how you came up with a strategy around the content creation game and how that's kind of evolved.
Yeah. So what happened was it all started. I think my only regret is that I didn't start earlier. I tried to get into it when I was fresh out of high school at 18. I was 17, fresh out of high school, no camera, just me gaming. Gaming was always the thing that I
loved
doing the most.
Are you any good?
I'm pretty good. League of Legends, I got Diamond last season, so I'm a bit washed at the moment. But Diamond is like top 2%.
You may as well speak in Arabic, bro. I don't know what that means.
Diamond is like your rank. You sound like LeBron right now. What is that? But Diamond is like, you're like top 2% on the server, so or top 1%, something like that. So I got pretty high up. I love gaming, and it's something that my dad got me into when I was a kid. He was a big gamer as well. Literally was playing a game called Command & Conquer until like the week he passed away. He was playing at the hospital. He just loved it. It was his favorite pastime, my favorite pastime as well.
Do you still play that game?
I still play that. I played. He was teaching me how to play that game as a kid, and it's a strategy game. And he was, my whole extended family plays it. We would go once every year to one of my cousin's work offices, and we'd all play there till like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Sick.
And I'll never forget my first time we went there, my dad was like beating the crap out of me, but then I started to get some wins on him. I'm 10 years old, rock up, he brings me to the event, and they're just thinking I'm playing with guys that are in their 40s. And they're just not taking me seriously. Like, they think, oh, he's just participating, but he's not going to do anything. And the first game I remember, whooped all of them. And they were like in disbelief that they've been playing this game for 20 years and they lost to a kid.
Yeah, good.
But I do play it, especially on his if it was his birthday or his anniversary, I always fire it up. But yeah.
I love that. We'll come back there. But
yeah, I always wanted to make gaming productive.
Okay.
Well, that was the main factor that got me into content creation. So gaming is a pastime, right? You'd play it for enjoyment, but what does everybody say? It's a waste
really.
Of time, right? Yeah. That was
it's escapism.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people feel like it's a waste of time. Me, I disagree. But seeing all these people that I used to watch on YouTube and on Twitch turn that into something productive where it earns them money or helps them improve their life by giving them a community, an outlet. Like, I wanted to be a part of that. So that was my main factor when I started streaming, and I stopped at 18, 17 after doing it for a week because my mates were taking the piss out of me. The next time I did it, I would have been 20, nearly 21. Didn't tell any of my mates, just started like playing old Call of Duty
What
games.
Made you go back to streaming?
I said, you know what? I really want to do this.
Okay.
And I've quit everything I've sort of done in my life at that point. Like, I was in university, like completed high school and everything, but like wasn't playing footy. like was playing basketball, but I just needed, I just always felt like deep inside that I could do this, and I had people just randomly tell me out of the blue, guys that I worked with. I'll never forget, shout out Demron. I haven't spoken to him in years, but he told me, mate, I think you'd be a really good streamer. And that always stuck with me. And then one day, I was just like, fuck it. I'm gonna start doing it. I'm not going to tell any of the boys. I'm just going to be completely anonymous. And he started...
How are you anonymous when your name's Hectic Fred?
Yeah, but I'm not going to... Not anonymous.
Oh, you just weren't posting it on
social? Wasn't posting. I was just streaming, yeah, right? Okay. And I wasn't posting on TikTok or anything. No, didn't tell any of my mates for 3-4 months. Like, I was just said, I'm going to do it and I'm never going to stop.
And wait, so followers coming? What? How's this at the start? Like on Twitch or Kick?
Yeah, I was streaming on Twitch.
Yeah.
Wasn't posting anywhere else. Literally only streamed on Twitch for about the first 3 years. I didn't post a single clip on TikTok or anything. It is really tough to start streaming because you have no one in there. Right, and I didn't tell any of my mates. A lot of people, they start streaming, they got a few friends in there. I had nobody. Everything I got was organic, and I slowly just started honing my craft because you just.
So did you get randoms pop on every now and then? Did you get excited when you get one?
Oh,
on there?
Mate, you get so excited, and then they go away, and then it. You're like back to three, and I'm like, okay, this is gonna take a while, and that's why so many people quit so early because it's. It's draining just talking to yourself. You know what I mean? Talking to yourself.
So for someone who doesn't really understand the streaming side of it, so how do you monetize that?
So the way it works is, so you stream and you get something called affiliate where it's like you stream 20 hours over a month and average 3 viewers and have 50 followers, and Twitch will give you affiliate, which allows people to subscribe to you. In which you will get a 50% cut of the subscription fee.
Lots of people pay to subscribe to
you. It's optional. It's optional, right? And they also have like donations, stuff like that. But basically, that's how you earn revenue. But it's obviously a very slow grind because you got to build that connection with the audience to get us for them to even want to sub to you, right?
Did you see Justin Bieber broke the record for the largest first stream ever?
No, I didn't. Initially, it was Drake, I think.
Yeah. Bieber streamed like yesterday or the day before.
Oh, good on him, man.
Yeah, and he didn't even tell anyone. He just did it.
He just did it.
He just did it. It spreads like wildfire, man.
But it's a crazy world, bro. It really is. And it's like the scale of it is massive. And even though I was always a consumer of shorter form content on YouTube, like I was never really into live streaming. And I rarely will watch a live stream for hours upon end, but so many people do. And I just really enjoyed streaming, right? And over time and over many years, I just got a lot better at it and improved and improved. And I just was never satisfied, right? And then I was in lockdown 2, right before, you know, we had just come out of the first lockdown. State of Origin was coming up. We were so G'd to watch it with the boys. And I probably averaged like 20 viewers around this time, which is pretty, like, it's really good for me. I was so stoked at the time. Never posted a clip on TikTok. I got to the point where, you know, we're in the second lockdown, just started. I'm so mad because we're missing out on State of Origin. And I was like, I'm going to watch this game with my mates one way or another. Screw Gladys, right? That was my mentality. And I saw other people streaming rugby league on Twitch and not getting in trouble. You know, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take a gamble. I'm going to take a risk. It might work for a couple of weeks, but I feel like I can do a better job than anyone else doing this. And I just streamed and put my first stream State of Origin. I think it was 2021 game 2. I think the Blues won from memory. And I posted my first clip, which was a disallowed try that Addo Carr had set up for Tommy Turbo.
Was it the game in Perth?
I can't remember which game it is, right? But yeah, I think it was game 1 or game 2. But basically, Addo Carr's just signed for the Dogs, so I'm glazing him. He's made a line break on the wing. I'm G'd up. I got nothing to celebrate at this point because we are the worst team in the league.
It still are, but yeah, go on.
See, waiting for it. Well, I gave him that one. Everyone's going to agree with you there.
That was the alley.
But I was G'd up. He kicks at Tommy Turbo, and then it gets called back, and I go off with the referee, and that was my first ever TikTok clip. And I remember it got 50K in like the first night, right? Fresh account. And I'm like, dude, I don't even think of all my 2.5-3 years of streaming, I got even 10,000 people go into the stream and see my face. And this thing has me getting 50K. And I'm like, and I'm in lockdown for the for I don't know how long. I'm just gonna keep doing it until I get in trouble, right? Like I don't even know if it's allowed on the platform or not, but I'm not getting banned, so it must be. Well, I'm just gonna see how this goes. So I just stayed incredibly consistent. Probably did 98% of the games over a 2.5-3 year period.
Yeah.
It was incredibly consistent. Ended up getting suspended on Twitch a couple of times. Then a new platform called Kick started.
Was that for swearing or is it for...
For showing the showing game the footage. Game. Okay. Yeah. So it's like it violated their TOS. But then a new platform called Kick came about. So I went across to Kick. Did it there for another year. Same thing ended up happening. But now I've got a... I do it the legitimate way where there's no game in the background. But we just all come as a community, watch the games together, have a good time. And it makes those boring games where nothing's going on so much better because you just end up going on a tangent or you start talking about other things and it just makes it like you're watching the game with a big group of people and you're just having a good time. And that's exactly what I wanted. And I was averaging thousands, hundreds, sometimes even thousands of viewers over long periods of time. And whenever the Dogs played towards the back end of my tenure on Twitch and Kick, I was getting over 1,000 people watching me, watching with me. Whenever the Dogs were losing, probably went up to 1,400 towards the end.
Just to interrupt you there. So did you understand the way, like as soon as you started posting on TikTok, you understood that that was a way to drive traffic to your streams?
Yeah. So I remember I was always watching YouTube videos of other streamers or other creators explaining ways to grow on as a streamer, right? And somebody said something on a video and it just resonated with me and I realized I was looking at it all wrong, right? The message was that I should never be posting on only one platform. I should be posting on multiple because you get brand new sets of eyes, brand new audiences, and they will be inclined to come to your stream. And that's how you grow viewership properly, right? And as soon as I realized that, I said, you know what? Screw it, I'm going to post on TikTok. I've got a mate, Sharbell96, who was a close friend of mine personally, who was pretty big on TikTok at the time. And he was the only reason why I had TikTok, just so I could watch his stuff. And I said, and he pushed me in the same in that direction to post on TikTok, same way you know I did to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I also did the same thing to push him into streaming. And we were doing it all at that point. And yeah, I started posting on TikTok. Then realized, okay, after about a couple of years, I'm like, okay, I got to start posting elsewhere. Time to tackle Instagram. And now I'm posting regularly on Instagram, TikTok, and I do my live streams on Kick now. And I've got plenty of platforms, but I'm still not satisfied. The plan is for the future to move into other areas of content, other industries, really. But at the time, I didn't know anything about TikTok. Didn't know how the algorithm worked. Didn't know what the algorithm was. I just wanted to put my content out there to try and, even if I posted 10 videos and I got one guy into my stream, it was worth it.
Yeah, for right? sure.
Because it was one guy that wouldn't have seen me in the first place. And it ended up being a hell of a lot more than that. And man, it was a lot of fun streaming all these games with all these people in there, and it's still a lot of fun now, even with 100.
Yeah, cool. So with that, you did just mention a couple of things. Essentially, you still don't do that full time, which we are working on, but I just want to change the shape a little bit.
Go for it.
You do actually have a real job.
Yes,
I do. A real job. So you, despite what everyone may think, Fred completed a uni degree. He's a very smart man. He's the big brother of these guys in the group in the studio here. And he completed a degree of project management and now works full-time in project management. So talk us a little bit through that.
Yeah, so my dad, and being a Lebanese guy living in Western Sydney, everyone around me is in the construction industry. So,
Or they're a lawyer and doctor.
Lawyer, or there's in construction, they're a lawyer, they're a doctor, or they're a drug dealer, right? And they're usually around two, okay?
Just two of the three.
two of the four options, you know? So, but me, I was a straight shooter, so I was just always destined to be in construction, and it was the right pick selection for me because I just had a wealth of knowledge around me. My dad was a mechanical engineer. In terms of he does mechanical HVAC, air conditioning, all that sort of stuff. Had multiple builders in the family. Like, it just made so much sense to do it. And yeah, I got into university when I was still doing my HSE. Got in pretty early at Western, which is where I always wanted to go. Couldn't be bothered going to the city to go to university. I always wanted to stay closer to home, in like Parramatta, you know. And yeah, got a degree in, I got a Bachelor of Construction Management. My dad was like, go do a master's. And I'm like, nah, not doing no master's.
I'm going to get a job.
I can go do my master's, yeah, but you I'm still just can. Delaying.
You can do that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I can do it whenever I want if I need it, but I really don't need it. I just need to get a job. Like, I had an internship at the time, but lost it in COVID. And then, yeah, and just found a junior gig as a project coordinator and estimator, and I just grew into that role. And I could have gone down the project management route, which is obviously it's very lucrative, but it's also incredibly stressful and very time consuming, right? And work life balance does not exist in construction project management. It just does not. I've seen it all the way all around me. Even my university lecturers were telling me, if you want to have, like, one lecturer literally told me, if you want to have a happy marriage, wife and kids and white picket fence, don't do project management. And that always stuck with me. So I'm like, nah, I reckon I can do it. And then I saw all of these PMs around me. They're just permanently stressed.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I was a junior PM and I was like constantly taking the work home with me. And I was just like, I can go in this route or I can go the cushy route, which was estimating, right? It's not easy by any means, but in terms of being able to plan out my day, being able to, you know, it's being able to focus on getting one thing done, which is pricing up a project. Construction estimator, essentially, so imagine you have a room like this. Everything in this room has to be built. And before you actually build it in reality, you have to build it. You have to build it before the job's even done, so you know how much everything's going to cost.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know exactly how much this wall paneling is going to cost, how much the carpet's going to cost. So you need to measure everything out, and you need to go and either price it up yourself, as if we're going to do it, or you find someone that can do it and get the best price, and then you add your markup on top of it, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And so we'll build an entire project on a computer and then be up against everyone else doing the same thing. So it's called a tender, right?
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Some people, so a lot, like, tenders are in a lot of industry, but in terms of construction, I'm obviously trying to win the job. So I've got a price against all the competition as well. And it's all about where can you find, not shortcuts, but where can you find opportunities that everybody else can't, yeah, right? Can you do X, Y, and Z yourself? And I love that. I'm actually very in the numbers, very technical, got a good eye for detail, and that sort of suits estimating more than it does project management. So I said, screw it. My most recent role, I said, I don't even want to do project management anymore. I just want to do estimating, and then that will give me that work-life balance that I need to be able to do something else on the side, which is obviously
When you think about it now, is there many lessons that you learned in one, university, two, in your current day-to-day, that sort of crossover within content creation?
Oh, big time. Time management being number one, I think, in estimating.
Are you a big to-do list guy? How you talk me through?
Yeah, like, I think I know, so I sort of plan out my week and what is high priority, low priority. My boss currently, that he helped me out with that a lot. So you have your jobs that are high priority and jobs that are lower, and you obviously got to get the things done in the high priority one, the high priority projects early. So he actually, when I joined, they've given me all the resources that I need. Like, I'm still technically not a junior, but I'm not a senior either. I'm in that mid-level where I'm not, like, when I joined this, my most recent role, like, I still had a lot of work to do. I was still pretty green, but I picked it up quickly because of the resources that I was given. So we've got, like, a full-on checklist of a sort of tender's lifespan over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, right? And I was following that at first, and then obviously you tweak it to suit your skills, right?
Yeah.
So I have a sort of repeatable process that I can apply to everything, and it's obviously something that you can just keep adding things to and taking away from. And you can call it a to-do list, but it's really a routine for me. And I know exactly what I'm gonna have to do every single week. And when a curveball comes in, you just, like, that's where, you know, that's when I work extra. That's where
I'll prioritize certain things. Yeah,
I'll ask for help or whatever, but it's a team environment where I'm in, and it's really, really good to be working where I'm at. And
so with that, so when you're structuring out your weeks in terms of content creation, are you utilizing some of those skills, or is it more just off the cuff and when you can find time?
Oh no, it's I've always got everything scheduled, so I know when I'm going to be streaming all the time.
Okay,
I want my, and it's something that people don't really understand when they first start streaming, how important it is to schedule your streams. Because look, in our days when we were young, we had to watch TV, right? And if you like a show, you need to know on the guide when it's going to be on, otherwise you're going to miss it.
Correct.
Now, if I wanted to watch Bloody Malcolm in the Middle and I didn't know when it was going to be on, it's going to be pretty bloody hard to watch it.
I knew when Entourage was on every week.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're streaming, number one thing is schedule your stream so that everybody knows when you're going to be live.
Yeah.
You can miss them. That's fine. But as long as you stick to the schedule, they're always going to know, okay, he'll be back on next week, right? Like, missing a stream is totally normal. And that's why a lot of people don't do it, because I'm like, I can't stick to the schedule. Well, try your best to.
Mm.
But these guys need, the viewer wants to watch you, but doesn't know when you're going to be on. They're going to find somebody that they do know. They're going to find another show.
For sure.
That's exactly how it's going to be. So time management and scheduling and is really how I sort of plan everything when it comes to streaming. And content creation is obviously in that time slot that I'm streaming is where most of my TikToks and stuff come from.
Yeah.
And I was always constantly finding a way to just limit my editing, limit how much time I spend doing the content. And I found a system that works for me, which is just literally recording my screen as it happens. I get the content out quickly, and the algorithm loves when you record on a TikTok camera, right? So that was me constantly just not being satisfied. I didn't want to be editing 2 hours every night after the games are done. I want to go out, or I want to go play games with my mates or chill out or whatever. So looking for opportunities to manage streamline my time better, to streamline everything. That all comes from being at high school and university, trying 100%. To reduce the amount of time I study. So you find the best way that works for you. Work smarter, not harder.
Correct.
So I would remember, man, I used to write like all my notes for the semester, and then write them all out again, like consolidate it, and then write it all out again, consolidate it. Exam time comes around, I've got 2 pages of notes, right? And that's what worked for me, right? Like, because it's on the day or the night before, I only got to read 2 pages. It will stick with me most of the time, but if I need another read through, it's only 2 pages, right? I remember seeing everyone at high school and university, they come to with a note, a book that big of notes. I'm just like, you can't. Like, it's, you got to try
what
and
What
A time
did you get?
I got 85.1, I think.
Nice.
But I was already in university.
Yeah. Oh,
I was chilling. I was playing league. Me. I think it was actually better that I got in early. I think I would have done better. I would have done worse if I was fighting for a university spot, because the pressure was off me. I was playing League of Legends. I'll never forget it, man. We were studying for general. We were studying for 2-unit mats, right? And we were just like done. Me and my mates were all on Skype. Discord wasn't even around yet. And we're just like, all right, I'm playing League. I don't know if you guys are going to join me. They all joined me, right? We play League of Legends. So it's a team of 5. So we all go into a game.
You hate games, eh?
Oh, I hate them. But yeah, we go in as a group of 5. We're all just done with studying. It's 11:30 at night. We're just going to play one before bed. We go into the game, and it's another, we're versing another group of 5 of our mates in our year group who have also done the same thing, have the same exam tomorrow. And I just feel like that helped me. Hmm. Being chill, being relaxed. I'm just like, oh, so what? If I screw up, I'm still in university. For and sure. That's all that matters. And that was when my dad finally got off my back. He used to put so much pressure on me. And as soon as I got into university, he was just like a little puffy dog, man. My relationship with my old man got so much better after that as well, because he was proud of me that I got into university doing construction. He could flex that with all of the family.
Love it.
He's going into the like my family picnic, telling everybody I got 90. Like, add 5 more onto it. But it was.
Hey, you always got to round up.
Yeah, always. They always got to. Lebs round up.
You always got to round up. So with that, like, so in terms of swinging it back toward the content creation, how are you looking to upskill now?
Always looking for new opportunities to, like, either plan ahead, or like, because what I'm doing right now is very streamlined, but I'm always looking to be more efficient, always looking to be more effective. Like if I do something, I want it to have the biggest impact possible, or get, or have the biggest impression on the viewer as I can have, right? So I, right now, I'm speaking to a lot of people that watch my stuff just to see if, just to get feedback, whether it's good or bad. And just honestly, like the thing I'm doing the most now is trying to speak to the community just in general. Like if I get a DM or a message request on Instagram or TikTok, like I like, it's not, they're not a viewer to me. They're like a person, right? And they really enjoy my content, and I try to interact with them as much as possible to see, you know, either what they like, just get to know them as a person whenever I can. It's hard to do it with everybody, but constantly building that relationship with the viewer means like I get a lot out of it, they get a lot out of it, and I get, and I make a new friend. And then you never know, like I've gotten so many opportunities to improve what I'm doing already just by speaking to people without them even realizing. So that's one thing I'm doing, and obviously we've been through this a bit, planning what's to come in the future, right? Is there a way that this can be like my full-time thing one day? Now, much as I don't want to do that because I've already put so much time and effort into getting to where I am now career-wise, it comes a time where you have to make a decision whether it's in a year or whether it's in 5 years. I don't know, but it's about being ready for it. And there's a few things that I need to do before I even really consider it. And that's, and I've made some goals, some of them financial, some of them, like, some of them, I'm, the goals for myself as a person that I can say, yes, I'm ready emotionally, mentally to make this move to full-time content creation. I'm ready financially. Am I covered if it doesn't work out? So then, like, if I am, there's that stress about, did I make the right decision, goes away, right? And that's just, I like to think ahead and plan ahead. And
love it. Was there a certain point that you got to where you were like, oh, like this could be something I could do full time? Was that this year? Was it last year? Like how did that?
It was always like.
From
the beginning, I knew that this was something that, like, I'm gonna see this through all the way, and I will do this full time. It wasn't.
So do you want to know what's cool about that?
Yeah, go for it.
Pretty much every top end sports person I know, from the moment they've sort of taken it up, it's like, I'm gonna play for Australia. I'm going to play NRL. I'm going to play cricket for Australia. Like, that's the mindset they've always had. And you've had that same thing with content creation, right?
Yeah, and where did I get that from?
Sport.
From sport, and my idol, sport idol, which is Kobe Bryant.
Love it. Mamba.
Mamba mentality. This was the only thing I ever truly had the Mamba mentality for. I knew I was built for this stuff. I knew that my personality, how I came to be this person that I am, I was a shy, quiet kid. Like, I never...
Quiet?
Super quiet.
You were quiet?
Quiet.
Fred?
Like, I was mega shy, bro. Like, especially in primary school.
Fred, you've been walking around calling yourself Big Sexy. You ain't quiet.
That's just not true at all. They called me Big Chungus for one basketball season. That's it, mate. It was on the back of my jersey, but I was mega shy, and still part of me is shy. Yeah. Like, you boys seen it around, like, Matty Bird and stuff. Like, I was...
Yeah, you shit, like, yourself.
I shit myself, mate. Now I'm not going... Like, now it's definitely...
Should we go get Mary's?
Don't tempt me, man. That's the mentality I had when it came to streaming, and I said, screw it, this is what I'm gonna have the Mamba mentality towards, right? I will be successful, positive reinforcement all the time. Never I might make it. It's always I will make it. And that's the biggest thing for me. And this was really the only thing I ever truly had that mindset for.
Love it.
Which is, then I'm reaping the rewards now for it, right? Mate. Never with the gym, never. But now I'm carrying that mentality that I've kept with content creation over to everything that I want to do in my future.
Mate, I love this. I knew we'd dig a little bit deeper. I didn't know you'd go like that. That was sick. That is mind games. That's what I want to get to. That's great.
And it's things like this that help plant that seed in the first place.
Yep.
Hearing other athletes talk about it. And, mate, we even had Chad, right, on League Lads, and even he said he always knew that he was going to go to the top, and that's what he did. He made it to the best of the world, NRL, and I want to make it to the best of the world doing what I'm doing. And it, even if I'm not the best of the world, that's fine. I'm just never, there's this thing, there's this fire inside of me that's never really going to be satisfied, right? But I know if I keep that mentality, it will take me to a better place than if I didn't.
Brick by brick.
And I probably would have quit if I didn't have that mentality because of how damn hard it is to get started. Because there's a lot of people trying to do the same thing, but there's also a lot of people that will quit.
100%. And
like...
Well, okay, when we're talking to that, so obviously... I'll change it up a little bit, but what I want to talk about is a bit of adversity and resilience. So you spoke about sport a little bit. I don't know too much about your sporting career. I do know you've had a couple of injuries. Talk me through that.
Yeah, never when I was actually playing like league.
Can we clear this up?
Yeah.
You weren't a 5'8".
For like half a season. Half a season. I'd even say a third. Like,
what'd you play?
A third of a season.
Front row.
I played wing when I first came in because I used to be small and skinny. So like my under eights, under nines, I was always on the wing. We won the under 10 comps and I was on the wing, right? And I was so bad at rugby league. Like I just didn't get it. I didn't have that dog in me. I was just playing for fun. I just loved being out there.
Yeah.
But I like, you're 10. Like, what do you know about the character you are, right? I was just playing because I thought my spot was never, or always, I was always going to have a spot on the team. I'm just playing for fun. So we won under 10s and then I got cut for going into under 11s because we went up to Div 1. And then my coach cut me and I was absolutely devastated. Didn't find the team. So I was like not playing any sport for a year, 2 years. And that actually, it hurt me, but no playing sport, and eating the same way I was, I put on a little bit of weight, you know, and I grew and I had a bit of a growth spurt as well. And I came to Mounties.
We tend to hit puberty a little bit earlier. Well, I did anyway.
Well, I hit puberty like 11, 12.
Yeah, that's a little bit taller than the rest of.
Yeah, like I think I had two growth spurts, honestly. But my first one, so I came in a lot. I came to Mounties, so I got cut at Marconi Stallions, went to Mounties, and they threw me in the forwards because I'd put on a bit of size and had grown a bit taller. Was no longer some little skinny, scrawny kid, and I still had so much work to do to get the lock spot. And I was, man, I remember, like, my coach was so good, really instilled that confidence in me. Really liked me as a kid, and I always trained hard, like, but I never did, like, there's training hard and there's training NRL level hard where they're doing extras and everything, like there's the training that you do with the team, and then there's a whole another group of training you do on your own. I never had that thing, that knowledge to say, okay, like, do extras. Go do things for yourself. Like, everyone else is doing it. Like, that's reaching to the top. I never had that mentality.
When you get our age, you realize, oh, fuck, like, that's so simple.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like cheating.
Yeah. It's doing like extras and is how you get ahead of everybody. Yeah, I was just doing what I was told, never did anything more. Ate, like, I had a mega appetite as a kid, ate like an absolute khanzir. I was eating left, right, center.
What does that mean?
Like, I don't even know. That's just all...
A lot.
Yeah, I don't... But I was eating like a wahash, like a monster. I'll use that one. Khanzid's left me. But I had a sick appetite as a kid, bro. They used to call me the bottomless pit. I used to...
Has that changed or no?
It has changed a lot. Because my appetite when I was 15, 16 years old was way more than it is now, right? I had to literally make myself stop eating as much because it was unhealthy. But long story short, I just grew into the lock roll, right? That was my first position because I wasn't big enough to play prop and I wasn't big enough. I just didn't have that punch that back rows had. I was always slow. Always my biggest weakness, slow, and I could not tackle. Don't say the joke. Don't say nothing. But I never really got taught how to tackle as a kid. Like technique and everything. So
must be the area.
I'm not from that area either. I was Parramatta comp, mate, Mounties.
But
honestly never got taught from a coach like how to tackle properly.
Yeah.
And that was, I just didn't know proper tackle technique up until like 2 years after I stopped playing. I sort of got the hang of it, right? But I was always just really good at running the footy. And there was a time where we're versing Marylands and getting belted, and I got a, I had a pretty long stint coming my way, and I just said, screw it, bro, I'm done running straight. Like, everybody tells me to run straight. These guys are all bigger than me. What am I gonna do? Like, what am I gonna do? What they want me to do? Just go, well, like, crack me, and I make like 5 meters because I ran straight. I said, I got the ball one possession, saw this like 6'5" Islander bloke in front of me, and we're in freaking under 13s. I'm like, screw this, bro. I'm going, like, I'm running in the other direction. Fuck this shit. I stepped like three guys, made like 20 meters, and it was the last game of the year. And my coach was like, bro, we should have, where was that all year? You know what I mean? I had a sick game. And then that's where the development came in. I played lock again and prop and started using my footwork to my advantage, man. And I might be slow as, but I've got sick footwork. Really, really agile for my size. And that's where our six went down one year.
You're not short in confidence.
I told everybody as well in the charity match. And what did Eric Grote say? Eric Grote said I had good footwork. Okay, so I'll take that all day.
The guru.
Yeah, guru.
Anyway, sorry.
But I did. But when I was, I don't know, I'll get on to the injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was always durable. Always durable. Never missed a game. I think I was sick 1 week.
You missed a lot of tackles, but hey.
Probably missed a lot of tackles. They didn't count them, thank God. But the effort was there. Effort was always there, but I never got hurt. I missed one game in high school to a sprained ankle when I was in my last year. Never really got injured. Was playing basketball and Oztag like 4 times a week. After I'd given up league, I'd started playing. My dad made me stop to focus on year 12 and I picked up basketball because they played late at night. Never, I was terrible at basketball, of course, when I first started. But you get better. You get a lot's changed since then, mate. But it's the confidence. Always the confidence. You put in the work, you get that confidence, and you can do things that that you never knew you could do. And I think our best player at the time and lead scorer, he's a Panthers fan. Shout out to Greg. You guys played on a Thursday in like 2019. Well, I think it would have been like 2021. You probably played on a Thursday 4 out of 5 weeks, and we played on Thursday. So Greg missed time. So then I was assumed number one scoring option, and I just exploded. And I actually never really, like, after assuming number one, I never really got it taken off me. Like, I was always like putting up the most points, and the boys trusted me because I was putting in the work. Like, I had my basketball hoop at home, always trying to practice new moves. So I had a pretty steep resurgence, and then bang, we made finals, semi-final, like in 4 straight years. The first year we played, we didn't even win a single
game. What level
is
this?
This is the rec league, bro. We're open rec, div 2, div 3, whatever.
Okay.
It depends on where you play, right?
Yeah.
So Liverpool, Carnesville, Auburn, Castle Hill, there where I played. Never played at Bankstown. But yeah, I'm in a semi-final. What, 2 minutes to go on live stream. ACL meniscus, full tear. Fucked me. Missed one.
Talk me through that happens. What's your immediate reaction? What do you think straight away?
I'm fucked.
Oh, yeah, what was that?
I knew straight. Like, they tell you that you, like, when you speak to people that have done it and being around basketball and league, you speak to a lot of people that have done it. They tell you, you know it when it happens. And the thing is, the reason why it happened was, I shouldn't have even been on the court. This was a Derrick Rose incident. That game was lost. This game that I was playing in, it was lost, but we made a historic comeback against these guys the season prior. We were down 18 points with like 6 minutes to go, and then me and a few other teammates just went absolute ape shit, won in overtime, right, against these guys. So we didn't want to give up. And yeah, I was down 10 with 2 minutes to go, and my mate was going to block me. And I'm like, nah, I got to contort my body in midair, you know, instincts that you feel like you're invincible. And I got to go around him. I'm not getting blocked and losing this game. And as I land on his foot, and you just feel that pop.
Mm.
And you just get a rush of pain to your knee, and you're like, what the fuck? And I was in so much pain. Then 30 seconds later, the pain went away. I was like, okay. And I got up on my own accord because I didn't want to get carried off the court or nothing. I took one step and my knee just buckled. And that was still the most painful thing I've ever been through in my life. That one step. Fuck. And the boys helped shoulder me off. Never leaving in a stretcher or a wheelchair or nothing like that. Fuck off.
Poor piece. But,
yeah, I'm not doing that. Definitely not to go to the toilet. But yeah, I just wanted to at least walk off on my own accord. And yeah, I was out. I was heartbroken. Yep. Absolutely heartbroken.
How old are you here?
I'm 22.
So you finished uni?
I was in my last I'd finished uni.
So you had a job or no?
I was working, yeah. Yeah, working okay. Full time.
So what happened there? You working from home?
I worked from home for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They told me at first that it wasn't a torn ACL and meniscus. They said it was knee effusion, like water on the knee, and that'll be all right. I said, I believed the doctor, right? And then 4 weeks later, it's not any better. I went to work when I could, like, sort of walk properly and get off the crutches.
Yeah.
Because I was driving to Windsor. That's where I was working. So it was like a 50-minute drive. And yeah, it was going through surgery 2 years later because I was 23. I was 23 years old. And this is why I remember it now. Because you can be on... I had private healthcare under my mum's name and you have it until you're 23 years old. I did this injury 23 in 2 weeks.
So you didn't have private healthcare?
Didn't have private healthcare. No. So I was saying, I went and they said, oh, public health system, you'll be waiting 12 to 18 months. 3 or 6 months in, they said, it's still going to be a while. And I said, how long is the wait period if I just get private? And they said, it's a year for pre-existing injury. So then I just got private healthcare. Did it that way.
And then...
Did the surgery, rehab, everything. And did it again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. So at the charity match, right? Playing a charity rugby league match.
Yep, everybody told me, don't do it, Freddie. Like, why are you going to play rugby league again? But I never wanted to leave rugby league. I sort of got forced to because it was just not worth the headache from my old man, you know? And I just wanted to play so bad. And not being able to play the 2 years prior and coaching, I just wanted to be out there on the field because it'd be a lot of fun, and I knew obviously I have confidence in my abilities that I'll do pretty well. And I said, if I do tear it again, is there any better cause to be risking it for? Like for charity? Like if I do my ACL for charity, oh well.
Yeah.
It's for bloody charity. I'll spill blood for them all day. I'll spill blood for a good cause all the time. I'll go through some pain because all the people like, that they're going through brain cancer, they're going, like, you know, it's like I'm playing for Mark Hughes Foundation, but there was also the Goanna Academy, there's also Ronald McDonald House the years prior. Like, these guys have it way worse than me. Like, I can't go out of the field walk because I'm scared to get injured. Like, that's not, I never want to not do something because I'm scared.
Yeah,
like, if I want to play, I want to play. That's it. So, I got out on that field and I was in absolute heaven. Like, when I came off of my first stint, I was absolutely buggered because we were up big as well, and I had a pretty good carry. So my first carry was on the line. I got hammered by, like, four blokes. Nick Stratosphere got me really good. They call him the Stratosphere. I can't remember what his first name is. He got me pretty good. And then my second run... Todd Carney, he just got out of the way. I had my second run was what I posted, probably my only highlight. It was really good. And then I came off that bench and I literally said, like, I came back onto the bench and told everyone, man, I'm in absolute heaven. I miss this so much. And my second stint, I copped a bit. I didn't know what happened at the time. I just felt a pop in my knee. Nowhere near as painful as last time, but I was like, this isn't right. I shouldn't be feeling this. I haven't felt this level, that pop in ages. So I'm like, and I've taken a few steps and it's hurting me. So I'm like, okay, I've got to come off. But I'm like, I didn't think I tore my ACL again because it was way less pain this time.
Yeah.
And way more stability than I had before. And they did the Lockmans on me. And they're like, they give me the look. And I was like, oh, you're fucking kidding me. Like, again? Like... why now? Like, I didn't know how it happened. Obviously, watching it back, I saw what happened. Copped a bit of friendly fire contact to the back of my knee from Brad Takaranga. Not his fault. He just it's a fast game, man. Yeah. Shit happens. But it's just I didn't know what the fuck happened. I was devastated, man. But I still held some hope that it wasn't super bad. Like, because they said obviously you need to go for scans, but you're not playing again. That's what my physio said, and he's my regular physio now. But Trademark Sport also starting to be a physio. He wanted to do the Lockmans on me, and this is when I knew there was something wrong again, like really wrong. He's looked that he gave me. He's done the Lockmans, no. And he did that, and I'm like, oh, you're fucking kidding me, bro. And I was in tears in the sheds.
Yeah.
Halftime rolled around. Everybody's doing the halftime talk, and I'm fucked, like, mentally, because I'm just like, there's no way I have to do all this shit again. Like, I never trained consistently my fucking life, bro. Yeah. Like, in the gym and shit. This is the one time I did it, and I put in all the hard yards, and I was running and to get ready for the game. I hate running, bro. Hate running.
Worst.
But I was wanted to be ready for it. And it broke me. I was ruined my whole night because all I could think of was
So tell me in this period, is this around when you started to ramp up the streaming?
The first one, yeah, I was streaming, and I think like the first one, I definitely wouldn't be where I am now if I didn't tear my ACL. Because I would have kept playing sports. I probably wouldn't have streamed every Thursday game because I wanted to play with my Thursday boys.
Mm.
But I was playing basketball, Oztag on Wednesday, basketball Thursday. And I just probably wouldn't have been streaming as consistently. So I always I took the positives out of the injury because I had way more time to make content. It's just the thing that was still inside of me was that competitive bug.
Yep.
And it just kept growing and growing because I had no outlet for it. So that's where I started playing a lot more video games as well, because I can't play sport, but I could play League of Legends and beat the crap out of some people and ruin their day. So when I was injured, I gamed a lot. But
so do you find that's I suppose what you're kind of saying there is obviously some pretty unlucky stuff's happened to you and some adversity you've had to go through, but you found a silver lining in it and you've actually found a way to thrive off the back of it in terms of the way you built your following and different things. So
100%. And it's just like, I always kept my faith in God. I don't worry about things because I'm a Christian Maronite Catholic man. Like, I just believe that there's a plan for me. And I said, well, what would, if I can't play sport, I have all this time. I need to use it properly. I can't just sit here sulking, right? I've got to channel this energy and put it into something else. And I just went and full sent content creation and never looked back. And although my main goal right now is to get back on the field and get back on the court and
really,
yeah, like even if it's just on the charity match on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
Once a year, I just want to be on the field once a year, and I want to be on the court at least once a week.
Nice.
Because I hate life without sport. I played sport for 20 years of my life, pretty much, and it sucks that I can't play at the moment.
Mm.
And even though this ACL wasn't a full tear, thankfully, it was a near full tear, so it's still going to require a ton of rehab. And this time around, it really did break me a bit, and I started off really well in terms of the rehab and then fell off a cliff. And honestly, like, I'm just not happy with where I'm at right now, but I had to do a lot of...
Let's touch on this.
Let's go for it.
Hectic shred.
Yeah.
This is the next steps for the...
Big time.
The next step for Fred. So, mate, you're currently about to, or you've just started, is it going to be a content series? Is it just going to be something for you?
I hate the thought of recording in the gym.
Okay.
Just because it's a public place and everything, and I just don't want to be like that guy that has the camera in the background. I just want to just go and train and reap the rewards of it, right? But it's, as somebody that was always like, we as humans always love, we do something, direct reward after,
yeah,
right? We do something, direct reward after. The gym is really hard for me because I do something and I don't see the rewards until months.
Four weeks, yeah.
Right? Like, it's like when you're playing basketball, you learn a new move, you can learn it in a day and pull it off the next day. And, you're like, oh, bro, look at that. All that work I put in, bang, look at that. Hook shot, baby. Bro, the gym is like, I've just been training the last 3 weeks and my PB is the same. Like, what is going on? You know what I mean? But
surely you get in the mirror and after you shower, bit of flex, cheeky.
I will be happy with it when it's done, mate. And that's where I'm at.
But
now.
Is it not about building? Like, obviously, is it not about building the habit of creating that as a long term sort of thing?
That's where I'm at now, where I'm a bit older, a bit wiser, and I see the benefits of, they call it delayed gratification, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where it's like if you had a dog, every time that you're trying to train it, every time it does something good, you give it a treat, right? But my treat is what the finished product's going to be. And that's where I'm going to be at in the gym. But there's so much more to it that
What I want to say to that is what you were saying earlier about content creation, how you're never going to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. It's the same with the gym.
I know, bro. I'll hit my goal weight.
There's no finished product. There's no finished product.
I know. But in terms of when I hit my goals, I can sort of be happy, a lot more happy with myself. Because I've just, like, after that last injury, I went into a bad place, I think. And it was just the thought of having to do it all over again that was killing me. Plus, I was selling my house and having to get everything ready, and there was just so much shit in my house that was took me literally months to clean. So it was a time thing and a drive thing, and I just can't wait to just move into my new place on Friday and just completely be able to focus on the things I want to do once I can put that behind me. And Hectic Shred is not going to be a series, but it's going to be the mindset.
Now, we'll make something
about the
journey,
mate.
I love this. Yeah, I want to be involved. Mate, just quickly, I just want to touch on one thing. There's one person you've mentioned a lot of times in this podcast, and that is your dad. Obviously, your hero, every kid's hero growing up. My dad was and is my hero. Lost him a year and a half ago. Talk me through dealing with that, and then also, like, just your mindset around dealing with that piece of adversity.
Yeah, like, listen, me and my dad, especially, like, we're always very close. We used to butt heads a lot, like, two Lebos, like, just constantly beating heads with each other, mate.
But best mates 5 minutes later?
But 5 minutes later, no one cares,
that's
right?
That's my dad, yeah.
Like, yeah, so we'd had our really good times, our really bad times, but, like, especially now cleaning out the house and seeing, like, all the fishing stuff and all his old stuff that I had to throw away. And fishing stuff I kept because it was always something that we loved to do, especially when we went camping. But it sucks, like, not having him there anymore. But, like, there are things that I do that still I feel like he's there, and that's why I'll probably start fishing again once I move out, and like once I move into the new place, because it's just something that we always used to do, right? And it was tough losing him, man. I also had the blessing that I was able to say goodbye and sort of brace myself, because my dad was sick. He had a very rare heart condition called cardiomyopathy, where his heart would just keep growing and growing and growing until it would, like, if he wasn't getting medication, his heart would literally blow up. But that started in 2010, and he had it for 13, 14 years. And, I was blessed because he sort of got his final marching orders 2 or 3 years prior. So we said our goodbyes then and everything, and then he got a phone call saying, hey, we have a prototype pacemaker that we need test subjects, essentially, and he's, like this guy's pretty much a goner. Like, what does he have to lose, right? So they actually went through with the surgery, where it's a pacemaker. Typically, you put it here on your outside of your heart. They will run wires literally through your heart valves. And there's a company in Boston that's literally watching you at all times. So we got a few more years after that.
That's awesome.
So I'm just blessed to have had that period with him and be able to say goodbye, because so many people don't get a chance to say goodbye. They might have been in the middle of an argument and you don't have that closure. I had everything I needed with my dad, and even despite having been able to brace myself, I knew a month before he passed that he was going to pass.
Nothing's
like we went to Good Friday, right, and we go to St. Mary's Cathedral every single Good Friday. He went to high school there, his favorite church in the whole world. We walked up one flight, which is 12 steps, and it was like the soul was sucked out of his body. Then he just couldn't do it. He had to take like a 2 minute rest to walk the other two, the other flight of steps. And after that service, it's such a beautiful service for Good Friday that they have there. We were eating ice cream because there's always an ice cream truck outside after mass. And my mum and sister went to get the car. And my dad literally told me, I don't think I got long left, man. Like, and I said, I could tell, I could see it, like you don't have a lot left, but I've got everything covered. Don't worry about it. And yeah, even though I could brace myself for it for a whole month.
Do it.
It still fucking hurt, man.
Yeah, I bet.
It was fucked. Like it was just a rough period, but I had to stay strong for everyone else. My mum and sister and all my family, they were like relying on me, and I sort of had to be that pillar.
Do you think that that promise you made him saying you got it covered, that actually gave you a bit of strength in terms of dealing with it as well and helping your family?
Big time. But it was the last thing I ever said to him as well. Like when he was on his deathbed, it was like he was on machines to keep him and medication to keep him comfortable. So it would have been 3 a.m. and we're just listening to him breathe. And I'm just like, my auntie for the few hours that were his last few hours kept saying, he's waiting for something. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, man, at St. Vincent, St. Mary's and St. Vincent's. And I basically said, you can go now, man. Like I didn't want to listen to his final breath at that point because it wasn't going to change anything. So I said my goodbyes, took my sister out, said, you know, you can go now, man. I've got everything covered. And I got into the car, drove from it was legit 2 minutes, man. I drove from St. Vinny's to the lights at South Dowling Street. And that's when I got the call. And I turned around and my life changed from that day, man. Life's never really, even though it's been a year and a half now, life's never really hit the same since he's gone. But it's something that a lot of people have to go through, and I would much rather he go first than I go before he does, because seeing how it impacted my grandfather was, like, he just doesn't want to be here anymore. It sucks. But, like, I had to just be a man and endure it and make sure that I was there for everybody. And I dealt with it in a corner away from everybody because I just didn't want to show any emotion or signs of weakness in front of everyone else, because I just had to make it seem like I had it all together. And I actually didn't want to stop streaming. I actually wanted to keep going. My parents, like my mum and all my family were like, the fuck's wrong with you, bro? Like, you can't do it this week. Like, Dogs were versus Newcastle. I wanted my revenge after they belted us 66-0.
A few teams have done that to you, to be fair.
Manly as well, yeah. But I wanted my revenge. Didn't end up streaming it. But the week after, straight back into it, because it was my outlet to forget about it all, footy. And I had plans for that off-season to go into food stuff and diversify my content and everything. And I realized when the football was over, I streamed for like 2 more weeks and I realized, bro, I'm fucked. Like, mentally, I'm fucked. Because footy's over now. Like, that was my escape, and now I've got no escape. So now all those feelings are hitting me now, whereas everybody else sort of had made that progress. It was now time for me to make that progress. So I took the whole last off-season off. And also, what added to it all was I was in a relationship at the time, and literally a month after, like 5 weeks after my dad passed, like, my relationship ended as well. And I initiated it, and it was such a tough decision to do for me because she was with me through those tough times. But I just think, like, when you go through a traumatic event, there's no rose-tinted glasses anymore. And I just saw that, you know, I didn't really see a future in that relationship anymore. And I felt like if my dad didn't pass away at the time, I probably wouldn't have seen the things that was wrong with it, right? But having to end the relationship that I was in for a year, 5 weeks after my dad passed, it was like I lost my dad and my best friend. And I just had a lot of healing that I had to do. But I didn't want to I would be selfish for me to think I don't have a future and waste my time barking up a dead tree, right? So it was the best thing for me and my partner at the time to just break things up. But that was the toughest time of my life by a country mile, because I lost my dad and I lost the person I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, right?
Yeah.
That's why I even get into a relationship in the first place, is marriage or bust. I don't want to fuck around. I don't want to do any of this bullshit. I just want to go and find my person and spend the rest of my life with them. And everything I do is to make myself a better man to be able to have that one day. And if there's anything else I have the mamba mentality for, it's the fact that I will get married, I will have a family, and I will live a good life well into my way past where I'm at now. And that's my goal, is to find the person that's going to get me into heaven. I want to find the person that I can help get into heaven as well, and just live a good life. And that's the thing I got the mama mentality for as well. But I obviously, if I lose the weight of it, it'll probably help. But that was the toughest period of my life. And
mate, I love it. That's like, I just had to let you go there, because that was, I don't really have anything to sort of add. That was awesome. That was great. So thank you for sharing that.
No worries, man.
And I said my condolences with it all. Obviously, you're now one foot in front of the other. You're rocking and rolling again. You're killing work, and you're killing the content game. You're the most followed person on TikTok outside of the NRL and the NRL on 9 account, I believe. So, what I've been telling people. But anyway,
some of the footy teams as well, I think. But I'm one man.
You are. what I want to touch on just quickly. Let's just wrap this a little bit quickly. Support networks. So obviously, during that period, you touched a little bit on. You were dealing with it in your own way. Who are you dealing with? Who are your support networks now? Like, if you have stuff to do with League Lads, or if you have stuff to do at work, or where are you different, and how do you find those people?
Yeah, my mum is my biggest support network. She's hectic always mom. There for me. Hectic mum. Like, my dad was also massive for me, and losing him was big. So it just means I instill more trust into my mum. I've got a lot of uncles and aunties and a big, extended family around me that always have my back, and the boys. Like, I've got multiple friendship groups, some boys from that I went to high school with, boys that I met after high school, in the off season. Every single Friday night, I'm at the same friend's house pretty much with the same group of boys, and we're everyone's support network, and we just always have each other's back. And the best thing about this group is nobody's afraid. Like, no one will ever sugarcoat anything for you. They will grill you if you need to be grilled. I will grill my mates big time. Like, my mate Johnny will know he doesn't get, I'm super hard on him like my dad was to me, because I know it's what he needs to hear, right? And we all got each other's back, and we will all be there for each other, and we will not bullshit one another. And I think that's what a lot of people don't really have in their life. And sometimes you're with people who are constantly validating what you're doing, even though it's wrong. And I don't see that as true friendship, right? If I saw you doing some dumb shit, I'll tell you to pull your head in. And some people don't listen, but over a long period of time, like, I can't, whether they listen or not, I can't be a true friend and not tell you what you need to hear from my end, right? Sometimes it's harsh and I'm not always right, but it's what our duty is as a true friend, to make sure that you are there to support your mates in any way, shape or form, and they reciprocate, right? Yeah. And I have plenty of support networks, man, and they've helped me get through things that I never thought I'd be able to get through in my life. But, and my sister as well, she's always got my back, I've always got hers. But I'm blessed, absolutely blessed to have so many people I can rely on. But it's also the fact that they can all rely on me, and I will always try my best to be there for them. And my old man was the exact same, and that's why there were so many people at his funeral that they ran out of food, and it was the first funeral in like 25 years that they ran out of food.
Wow.
Like, they were telling the hearse driver to essentially, like, slow down, like, stall us, because when we got there, there was no food.
Wow.
And to go restock for us, you know, coming back from the cemetery.
Yeah.
But my dad put in so much effort to be a good friend and be a good family member, right? he'd go visit everybody, even though we live out west and everyone lives in Earlwood. He'd go visit so many people, take me along with him, and they returned the favor. And it was honestly just so heartwarming to see so many people there. Right?
It's awesome, man. I love
it. I would love that's the legacy you want to, like, that everybody wants to
one
have.
One of my good mates has a good saying, I just want to sell out my funeral.
Yeah, exactly.
I love
his
that.
Was beyond sold out.
That's so good. That's so good. Mate, I really appreciate this. This has been absolutely awesome. I know that we've shown the world a different side of Hectic Fred.
Yeah.
Or how do you say your real name?
Farid. Or Farid. Yeah.
Mate, I've got three quick questions. 16-year-old Hectic Fred walks through the door. What are you telling him?
Strap yourself in, bro. Dogs aren't going to be winning anytime soon. I'll tell him.
Amen. That'll do it. Thanks, guys.
No. I'll tell him buy Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Even if it's $100 worth, just buy it.
Yeah.
Also, don't listen to what anyone else says, because my Back whole yourself. Family was telling me that I was wasting my time. Dad, mom, sister, what the fuck's wrong with you? Are you retarded? Who the hell's going to watch you? Next minute.
Everyone.
Where I'm at now, right? So
everyone.
Don't listen to anybody and be the man that you want to be and stay true to yourself. But I still did that. But I'll just make sure that I had to make sure that this version of Freddie, 16-year-old Freddie, knows that.
Love it.
That's what I want to, that's what I tell him.
What's your favorite cheat meal?
Fuck. I got to think. You know what? My favorite dish is Singapore noodles I could tell a little story about it if you'd like.
I can think of a better one for you. Where'd you meet your pookie bear?
Mary's. That probably is my favorite my favorite cheat meal, because I can never go to that place ever again and not go to Mary's.
Yeah.
So, and mate, I said, fuck that.
Every time I get it, I send you a photo as well.
Yeah, you fucking bastard. And the fried chicken is amazing,
bro.
It's
the best.
But honestly, like if I'm really hungry, I will go and grab the same meal from KFC every single time. I get a Zinger box, extra burger. Instead of potato and gravy, I get regular gravy, and then I get two dinner rolls, and I'll put like the pieces of fried chicken in the dinner roll, dip it in the gravy. It goes so hard. So that's
slaps.
That's my go-to fast food meal order. But honestly, like, I love this dish called Singapore noodles. Ever since I was a kid, it's a spicy dish, right?
Yeah.
And not many places make it good, but when I find a place that they make it good, I love it, right? And a little story with my old man. So we used to live in Redfern. My
Bunnies fan.
They're all my family are Bunnies fans. They all still live on Charmer Street, bro. So I'm two years old. They take me to Chinatown all the time.
Yeah.
And I won't, 2 year old me won't shut the fuck up and stop crying because I want to eat what's on my dad's plate. What did he order? Singapore noodles. And I'm crying because I want it. And my dad's like, it's chili, man. You're not going to like it. But he says, fuck, this cunt won't stop crying. It just gives me the chopsticks with Singapore noodles. And thinking I'm going to, you know, it'd not like
hot,
it because
yeah.
It's too hot. And I started crying again because I wanted more. And he used to always tell this story. He kept feeding me Singapore noodles. And this Asian couple says, no, what are you doing? Like, telling us to stop because it's spicy. And my dad gives him the chopsticks and says, hey, you try, take it off him. And that's why it's still my favorite dish to have now.
So
that's my go-to.
Yeah, nice. All right. I know you're not much of a golfer. So in golf, you play in foursomes. Do you understand that?
I don't even know that.
So there's four people in a golf group. So 18 holes goes for about 4 hours. You and three others can play a round of golf, dead or alive, can be anyone. I'm carrying the bag, so you can't pick me.
I want to pick you anyway, mate. Don't flatter yourself.
That's the joke, mate. Come on.
So all three would be athletes. Kobe Bryant, without a doubt, number one. Bro is my idol, man. Like, I had posters of him on my wall. I started watching basketball late 2010, early 2011. And he was just, like, he was everything I'd ever wanted in an athlete, man. And when he passed away, that was, like, my first, like, real loss. Like, I'd lost my grandfather, but I was only, like, three. Like, this was, like, somebody that I loved watching, loved as a person, loved as... Like, and when he got older, he became more of that, like, ambassador, like, nice guy. The assassin sort of went away from him.
Yeah.
And I just loved him, man. And he just broke me when he passed away. But he'd be number one. Michael Jordan, the GOAT, number two. Because I would just want to see, I'd suck at golf. I just want to watch them play, right? MJ v Kobe, it's always going to be entertaining. And number three would have to be, without a doubt, Hazem El Masri, right? My first ever sporting... like, he's, mate, he's the first ever athlete that won me over. He was, he won my heart before anyone else did.
You're both wingers too.
Yeah. I love, oh, mate, I love Hazem El Masri and what he could do with a ball. Nobody else can.
True, true. Unreal. Nathan kicks it a high clip. But anyway, mate, thank you very much for this. I'm super grateful. Super grateful for letting me use the studio. Super grateful for you being my wild card. And let's build something great, mate. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks, man.